It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, hello. Hello out there, everyone in Radio Land. Welcome to the George Williams Show. Folks, we're behind the mic again tonight, and we're so glad to be behind the mic. We have a very special guest in the studio, and you're going to hear from her in a few moments. Our number here is 251-343-0106. And folks, we do have a podcast of this program, and starting tomorrow, you can go on our website. It's fmtalk1065.com, fmtalk1065.com. You hit podcast, you hit my name, and tonight's show, okay? And you can, matter of fact, you can hear all, just about all our shows, folks. Just about all our shows. All right, we have a lot to talk about tonight with our special guest. She is a candidate for the upcoming election, and she'll talk to you about that. And after that, we're going to be talking about these crazy, stupid Democrats, folks. They are crazy, they're stupid, and we have to be strong in the eyes of the Democrats, okay? I always told some of my Democratic buddies, how long can you tread water? And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, you're on that sinking USS Democrat, okay? So Democrats, come over to our side, please. All right, without further ado, here's our guest. Her name is Danielle Dugard, and she's a candidate for state representative, and she's over in Baldwin County, District 96. All right, Daniel, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, tell the audience, something about you.
I am a wife and a mother. I have three children. We live in Baldwin County, like you said. We came here about 18 years ago for my husband's job, and we loved it and decided to raise our family here. I'm not a politician.
Okay.
I'm just a mom. I have an American history background. That's what I did my master's degree in. And I just really love American history. I love our constitutional law. I am a constitutional conservative.
Oh, wow. And you know who else loves American history?
Who's that?
He was a speaker of the House. Do you know who that is? Newt Gingrich.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Newt.
Yeah. Newt.
Yep. Okay. You have to really know and understand and love American history, really, to be effective in civics and in government.
Right.
We have to know why we're, you know, the United States of America, why we're a constitutional republic.
Right. And being that you're an expert in that area, what do you think about these idiot Democrats? They're trying to change history, and you know, it's just upsetting to me.
Well, you know, I feel like the Democrat Party has been hijacked by socialists or even communists, if you want to go that far. And that's been their agenda for many, many, many decades. So to subvert the, our American values, our family values, the nuclear family, to, you know, brainwash children in school through the public education system, and they've really gotten their claws into everything, and they've been quite effective. It's I've seen a lot of older Democrat, you know, faithfuls who have jumped ship, like you said, jump ship, come on over to our side.
Right.
And they have, because their values no longer align with what the Democrat Party is pushing. So I think we really need to get back to the basics here in the United States. We need to make sure our children understand what makes our country great, you know, what our founding fathers intended for our country, and why we are a constitutional republic, not a democracy, as they like to repeat over and over again.
Right. Why do you think they're trying to change America? Like, when the Manchurian candidate, you know who that was, Barack Hussein Obama. We call him the Manchurian candidate. And he said that he wanted to fundamentally change America.
Right.
And that's what
was his slogan again? Yes, we can.
Yes.
Right. Well, you know, America is the last great stronghold for freedom and individual liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And a government doesn't have a lot of control over free, independent, you know, people.
Mm-hmm.
They're harder to control. If you can grow your own food, if you can educate your children, if you can, you know, govern yourselves, if you have moral ethics and, you know, Christian values, you're not as easily swayed and manipulated and controlled. So that's the intent, I think, is to just destroy the last stronghold for freedom and liberty, you know, so that we can, so that there is no other place to run. When you talk to people who have fled communism, that's the one thing they say is we came to America for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And if America falls, there's nowhere else to run to.
Right. And I believe that. You know, I've been in Africa for so many years and South America for so many years, and I've been to different parts of the world, and there's no place like America.
That's right.
No place.
And we need to make sure our children understand that. So as part of, you know, I've been a grassroots activist for many years, working in the community. We've been advocating for conservative issues like, you know, issues in education, medical freedom, parental rights, things like that. And one of the projects I worked on, we looked at the social studies curriculum in the state of Alabama, and we looked at specifically Studies Weekly. It was the 4th through 6th grade curriculum that the state provides for the schools. It's the only approved curriculum for that grade, I think, for K-6. And we were shocked at what we found inside. We did a year-long study where we went line by line through every bit of material that's being taught to these children. And, you know, the bottom line was it was full of not only historical inaccuracies and bias editorializing, but most significantly, there were praising communist ideology. They actually praised communist leaders like Mao, Hitler and Stalin, saying these were great leaders who cared about their people. I mean, just truly horrific things that was in this curriculum for 4th through 6th grade. And that just showed me that even though we think we're in a red state, we're in a conservative state, we're safe here, there's so much that's trickling in, that's sneaking in, that parents are unaware of, maybe even teachers aren't fully aware of it until they come across that one page and they're like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe they flip to the next page, but it's in there. I mean, even in our red conservative state, so we've really got to focus on what our children are being taught, remove Common Core completely from our standards.
Okay.
If you look at our math and English textbooks, they are all Common Core aligned books. So we've got Common Core standards, which every other state has abandoned. It was a failed project, right? Nationally, it's been abandoned, but Alabama's still using it. And we've got to make sure that what these kids are being taught is going to produce the next generation of great thinkers and great leaders and not little socialist soldiers.
I spoke to Dr. Liu about that. And we were talking today, and he wanted to make sure, because he moved back to Louisiana, his wife, you know, it's from there, and she's sick. And so, you know, when I see the next governor, you know who that is, Tuberville, he will be our next governor.
Coach Gov.
Yeah, and to talk to him about that,
yes.
Because I know he wants to get rid of it.
Right.
He wants to get rid of it. I've heard that come out of his mouth.
Great.
So, yeah, and you know, you are very active in that. You're very active in that.
So. I have an interest in it. You know, I had three kids.
Right.
Two of them came up through public school until a certain point when I either homeschooled or sent the middle child to private school, and then my youngest has gone to private. But I've done all three, public, homeschool and private school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I have an interest in what our kids are being taught, and I have a lot of concerns.
Okay. After this break, we're going to bring you back, and then that will go into your candidacy.
Sure.
And working in Montgomery to try to change that law, right? To convince
the governor
and members of the legislature to get rid of that.
Right.
Yeah. All right. That sounds good, folks. We're talking to Danielle Lugarten, and she's a candidate for House District 96. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, everyone. And we are on a mission. And I'm not embarrassed to say this. My mission is to get every Democrat out of office that I can, okay? That is our mission. They are dangerous. In my opinion, folks, they're not American. They are anti-law enforcement. They are anti-immigration. And they are just hateful. They're hateful. And so look what they're doing in this slowdown. It's not a shutdown, but a slowdown. I mean, you know, they're talking about SNAP. The funding. They're talking about funding for air traffic controllers. And those idiots, the Democrats, they don't want to vote. They've had 13 votes in the Senate, folks. Okay? And each time, the Democrats have voted against providing fund. I mean, think about that. Think that. To me, that's treason. To me, that is treason. But anyway, let's get back to the matter at hand. Danielle Dugat, she is a candidate from Baldwin County House District 96. All right, let's continue with our conversation here.
All right.
Why did you enter this race?
I honestly, I never envisioned running for office. I loved history. I loved learning.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I would just teach American history. But
right.
During COVID, that really woke me up. I was just shocked at the government overreach. You know, the mandates that quite literally killed people. We had people die mm-hmm. from the vaccine that they were ordered to take mm-hmm. by either, the federal government or their employer or their hospital or doctor's office, and executive orders that just crushed small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
There was just a complete disregard for our constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, as a constitutional conservative, I was just shocked. And, we petitioned our state legislature. We had a couple special sessions. We had one in October of 2021 that we really had a mass, influx of people coming to the state house. There were buses that brought people up, and we had grassroots groups from all over the state petitioning the government, hey, please do something to save our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
This was at a time where we were facing the December 2021 deadline to mm-hmm. get the shot or get fired.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked our legislature to please pass some permanent protections to stop these people from being fired. Many of them were already let go
mm-hmm.
from their jobs at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And, what a terrible thing to go into the Christmas season not knowing if when you come back from Christmas break, if you're still going to have a job.
Right, right.
People's businesses were destroyed, their livelihoods, their careers. So I was really quite disappointed mm-hmm. by our lack of action and accountability in the legislature. They passed some protection for exemptions,
mm-hmm.
right? We shouldn't have to ask for an exemption, though. We just shouldn't be mandated to take any medicine. But they did pass some protections for exemptions. However, those expired. So
mm-hmm.
there was nothing permanent done. and not in a way that protected most people from coercion, harassment, or penalty that they faced for refusing to take a COVID-19 vaccine. Mm-hmm. So that really woke me up. That's why I decided to run in 2022. I ran for the same seat against the same opponent. I got 45% of the vote. I had a grassroots movement. There were a lot of people who felt the same way I did, that, you know, what happened should never happen again. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make sure that it would never happen again. So that's what I've been fighting for all these years, advocating for not just medical freedom, but parental rights. That's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And currently I work as a legislative analyst for a national nonprofit. And my job every day is to analyze bills that are going through all 50 state legislatures plus D.C. Mm-hmm. So we filter these bills based on anything that violates informed consent, which a lot of that has to do with education law, public health law. We look at parental rights bills. We're looking at, I mean, even pharmaceutical advertising bills. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that goes into that, you know, sphere. I personally analyze these bills. We have about 700 this past session. And we're looking to see how the bill affects existing law and what the people in that state can do, whether, you know, if they want to support or oppose the bill. We'll let them know the stage that the bill is at, if it's in a, you know, committee, what's happening with the bill, does it have an upcoming hearing, who do they reach out to either stop or support the bill. So that's what I do on a daily basis, and it's given me a lot of good insight as to what can Alabama do to get these same, you know, good bills passed in our state. Mm-hmm. And it gives me a unique perspective to see what worked in other states, what were the arguments for and against it, how is the bill language amended to resolve certain issues that may come up with the bill, and, you know, what we can do, how Alabama can do better.
Well, let me ask you a question. Since you're doing this all over in different states,
right,
is there a big difference or disappointment in the bills that are submitted and passed in liberal states?
Okay. So you'd really be surprised. We have bad bills in every state.
Okay.
The majority of the bad bills are sponsored by Democrats. Now, we do have some bad bill language in Republican-sponsored bills.
Right.
We do. We get that even in Alabama.
Right.
But the majority of the time, if it's a really bad bill, like they're trying to allow 9-year-olds to consent to any medical procedure without their parents' knowledge or consent, and they even slip in a clause that says the insurance company can't tell the parent if they call and ask, did I just pay for COVID vaccine, you know, through my insurance for my child? And they'll say, I'm sorry, but I can't tell you without your child's consent. So
did we pass that bill?
We didn't have that bill, but this is an example of a bill that sponsored by a Democrat.
Right.
And typically states like New York, California, Jersey, Maine, we see a lot of that there.
Wow.
But Alabama is not spared from some of the same silliness.
Right. Yeah. What are some of the bills that you are concerned about in Alabama?
I would love to see the violations of our Second Amendment rights stop. You know, last session they passed 2 gun restriction type bills, so SB 116 and SB 119, that restricted either gun accessories or who can own a gun. These are passed in conservative, you know, supermajority legislature right here in Alabama. I would love to see permanent protections in law, like I said before, for medical freedom. Mm-hmm. Everyone should have the right to choose. Mm-hmm. If you want a vaccine, it's available to you. Mm-hmm. If you don't want one, you should be able to say no thank you without being harassed, without being coerced, without penalty.
That reminded me of today I was at the VA and they said, well, you know, we have vaccine shots for you. You know, do you want them? I said, no. About 7 years ago, I used to get my flu shots every year.
Yeah.
But then 1 year I got my flu shot, and less than a week I was on my back for 4 days.
Yeah, poisoned.
Yes. So I said, no, don't give it to me no more.
And that's your right. That's your right to say no.
Right.
Everyone should have that right. You know, right. If we don't have the freedom to control what goes inside of our body,
true.
You know, as a condition of receiving an education or working or
right.
entering a public space, then
right.
we don't have freedom. What freedom do you have if you can't control correct. Your own body?
Correct.
So correct. I'd love to see, you know, to continue to reduce that grocery tax. I know they dropped it a little bit. It'd be great if we could get rid of it altogether.
I agree.
We got to keep taxes low. We got to fix education. I know the Choose Act was successful. They had 5,000 students across the state leave the public school system, you know, potentially exercising their right to the Choose Act funds. Mm-hmm. And those parents now have a say in where their child is educated. So that's fantastic. But we've got to make sure we strengthen those type of bills and see what's going on in our public school systems.
Right. And we're talking about bills and stuff. They're talking about marijuana. And, you know.
Oh, man.
Look, I know, being a retired DEA agent, that according to DEA and our research with our scientists, there's no medical use for marijuana. And you look at the main content in marijuana, THC, tetrahydrocannabinol chloride, it is used to put down animals, elephants, you know.
To sedate them.
That THC is strong. There's no medical use for it.
Just think of, you know, children getting a hold of that stuff. The more we legalize it, the more we're going to have kids, teenagers, young people, when their brain is still developing, when they're still trying to, you know, become an adult, having that kind of effect on their brain and on their development. It's not good. It's dangerous.
It's not good. And I agree with you on that. And so, but we had some of our Republican legislatures to pass that.
Mm-hmm. They also passed, almost passed gambling.
Yeah, that's
so
another thing.
We've got to make sure that doesn't, I mean, it just barely didn't pass.
Right.
There was, one vote in the Senate that stopped it? So it flew through the House. We've got to make sure that doesn't pass. I mean, it's just destructive. And we don't want a casino on our beaches. We don't want the crime, the corruption, the, you know, increase in trafficking drugs, human.
Right.
That happens around casinos. And the addiction.
Right. I know you have some more there. So we're going to be going into our next break, and then we'll bring you on for part of the next segment, okay?
Sounds great.
And then you could talk about your campaign and whatever.
Thank you.
Whatever else, okay? All right, folks. Danielle Dugard, candidate for House District 96. And we'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. We are still on a mission. Get rid of those Democrats. We are still on a mission, folks. Our number here is 251-343-0106. And here is our special guest, Danielle Dugard. We're so glad that you can be a guest on our show.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Great, great. What else concerned you about anything in Alabama legislation, you know, county stuff? What else?
Sure. So, you know, we talked about protecting our Second Amendment rights, our medical freedom, parental rights, keeping taxes low. You know, we do have a lot of growth in Baldwin County, rapid growth.
Rapid.
So we really need a strong voice in Montgomery who's going to fight for those tax dollars to come back to our district to, you know, beef up our infrastructure. As I go door to door talking to voters, that's the number one complaint is the traffic and the roads. We've got these two-lane roads all over the county, and and we have developments popping up left and right. So people are sitting in a lot of traffic, and that's top of their mind right now.
I see that.
They're very upset about it. So we got to make sure we're competitive with Huntsville and Birmingham for those tax dollars. We got to compete with them and make sure our district is getting the money we need.
Because I've heard, I've heard that Mobile and Baldwin County is responsible for 40% of the taxes in the state.
I've heard similar estimates. You know, we have our beach tourism.
Beach, yes.
So we have, you know, lodging tax and all of our tourist dollars are going back up to Montgomery. So we want to make sure we're getting our fair share, which our lawmakers will tell you that we are.
Mm-hmm.
However, you talk to the people in the district and they're like, they don't think we are. I mean, there's so many road projects that just aren't even on the 10-year plan. So those are important to me. They're important to the people in my district. And one really simple fix that would make it so much easier for people to follow along what's happening in the legislature and track bills like I do daily with other states is to fix our legislative website. Mm-hmm. You can't even hardly Google it and find it these days. I don't know why. I've had to bookmark it on my browser just so I can access it quickly. But the website, and I know because I'm working in all 50 state legislative websites every day, ours is notoriously difficult to navigate. You know, there's no dedicated links to certain pages, to committee hearings. We don't archive our committee hearing recordings. Some of them aren't even recorded because they don't have audio video in every committee hearing room, but those that do, they're not archived. So you can't go back and rewatch a meeting that happened, you know, last week that you missed. If you don't catch it live, that's it. You're out of luck. We do have a couple third party, like Alabama Channel, I believe it is, on YouTube, and they do archive. They go back as far as, I think, 2022 when they started archiving, but the state doesn't do it. So our website, my whole team will tell you, it's awful. It's really hard to find what you're looking for. So if we could make that more user-friendly, like some other states have done, people could see the bills that are going through the House, and they could see the where it's at, what committee it's in. They can reach out and contact those people.
Yeah. Who controls that?
It was built by, it's at the bottom of the website, and I look at it every day. It was built by, I think, Legislative Services, or there's like a tech department that built
it. Do they input the information in, or is that another private company?
Oh, I'm sure it's done in-house. I don't know who in particular is inputting the information, but a lot of times it's like a little in-house team that works on the website and uploads the committee hearing documents or committee reports or, you know, Senate Journal, House Journal entries. They'll upload that kind of stuff usually daily. Most states do it daily. I'm not sure who does it here in Alabama, but the website itself needs a lot of work. It needs to be more user-friendly, and I think that could be an easy fix, and it would make it a lot easier for the average constituent to get involved.
What? That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
I would love to see it happen, so that's definitely on the list.
Have you mentioned that to anyone?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've mentioned just about every lawmaker I talk to. I've told them, hey, you know, it's really hard to find.
Right.
I mean, I could find it because I do it all the time, but, you know, the average Joe who's only seen the website once before, they're going to struggle.
Right. Now, what about these pre-session bills? You know, they have to file them.
The pre-files.
Pre-file.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been some good ones recently. It's been great to see the changes since Trump came back into office and initiated his MAHA, you know. And it's been great to see a lot of, you know, health freedom type bills and parental rights bills and anti-woke ideology bills, because Trump has made this now part of our party platform, I think is great. He's made it more popular. So we've got the bandwagon effect happening, which is great for Alabama.
Right. Okay. Great, great, great. When, what about the, I hear folks talking about the voting machines and all that. Do you do any research on that?
My husband is a stickler on this issue. He would love to talk to you about it. He wants to
Maybe we'll have him on the show.
You should, because he wants to see the specs for the machines. And, you know, he's an engineer. He's a mechanical engineer.
Right.
He's very into computers as well. So he wants to know, you know, why these machines are able to be online at all, you know. And they say they're not, but, you know, the numbers are getting sent to the state on election night. And he wants to know, you know, the inside components and how it all works. I would love to see, like, hand-counted paper ballots, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the gold standard? Voting with a photo ID.
Right. Yes.
That would be great, you know. That would be, it would lead to less vulnerabilities, less chances for any kind of outside influence on our voting outcomes.
Yeah. So your husband is really involved in getting that squared away.
If he had more time, he would be.
Wow.
He has a big interest in it.
Okay.
And he's had some conversations with some of our elected officials about it, and he's been disappointed in the lack of access that the average citizen is allowed. We're not allowed to see the specs. We're not allowed to the way the machine works is secret. It's, you know, all kept very undercover because they don't want hackers to be able to manipulate the machine.
Right.
So it makes sense, but he wants to know, like, how do these things work? He wants to know all the inside components of it.
Right. What else concerns you that you, you know, if you win the election, what would you... what would you want to do about certain bills, and what bills would you want to see go through there, you know?
Gosh, there's so many. Like, I have a list.
That many?
Oh, yeah. I have a long list because, you know, I'm looking at every good piece of legislation that's going through these other states.
Right.
And I'm involved not just the health freedom side, but education and other legal grassroots organizations and advocacy organizations. But there's so many. I probably have 100. I need to narrow it down to, like, my top five.
Right, yeah.
If I get elected, I'll work on that. But really, anything that protects freedom and liberty is on my agenda.
Okay. That's good.
Making sure we protect our rights.
Right. How does our audience get in touch with you?
They can go to danielledugger.com. That's D-U-G-G-A-R, danielledugger.com. All my information is on there, where I stand on the issues, how to reach me, phone number, Facebook, social media links are on there as well. And I'd love to hear from you guys. If you're listening to this and want to reach out, have any questions, or want to volunteer with the campaign, give me a call. Mm-hmm.
Okay, folks, Danielle Dudden, she's a candidate for House District 96 in Baldwin County, and we're glad to have you on.
Thank you.
And some of the information that you told me tonight, I never had any idea.
I get involved in some weird things, right?
All right, Danielle, thank you. We appreciate it.
It was good to talk
to you. All right, folks, Danielle Duggan. All right, we appreciate it. And we got a lot to talk about, folks. These Democrats are crazy. They are actually crazy. Philip, how much time we have before the break? 4 minutes? Okay. Now I'll tell you what's on my mind, folks. We're looking at Venezuela. We're looking at the Democrats talking about innocent fishermen out there in the water. Let me tell you something, okay? There are no innocent fishermen and fishing women out there running from helicopters and tossing packages into the ocean. They're not innocent, folks. They're not innocent. And I can't say too much. I just came back from Orlando, where we had the retired DEA agents conference there. And when these boats leave Venezuela, or we know what they have in them. We know they're drug boats, okay? A bunch of fishermen, if they see your helicopter over there, they're going to wave and all that, and they're not running. These boats are running, folks, full steam ahead. They're not innocent. And you Democrats, you're trying to make the American folks think that we're shooting, killing innocent folks. These folks are not innocent. They're out there killing America by bringing in drugs into our shores, folks. They're not innocent. They deserve to die. And I love what President Trump said. We're going to keep killing you. You keep bringing it in. You're killing our people. You're killing Americans. You keep bringing it in. We're going to steady blow you up. Blow you out of the water. And they got proof, folks. We got helicopters that can go down and pick up the stuff. You know, we got boats that can pick it up. And you see them. What are they tossing out of the boats? When the helicopters are going over their head and chasing them. They're not tossing fish out. Why would you toss fish that you're catching? They're not tossing fish. They're tossing drugs. Drugs. Folks, I did this enforcement for a long time. So don't believe what these Democrats are saying, that they're killing innocent fishermen. Maduro, I hate to be in your shoes, because they're going to get you. They are going to get you. Okay? You are a dictator. You're a killer. You're a murderer. They're going to get you. They're going to get you. So that's my thought about these Democrats lying to the American public about what they're doing. And then after these messages, we're going to be talking about the immigration situation, okay? And it is so hard for me to believe that you have Democratic politicians telling illegals, criminals, how to get away from federal law enforcement. It is totally unbelievable. And I love Pam Bundy and what she was saying. Cash Patel, love him. Love him because they have guts, folks. And we need guts to fight these trading Democrats. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. We are on a mission. To continue what I was talking about prior to the break about the lying Democrats talking about Trump. Everything is about Trump. Everything. Everything that comes out of the Democrats' mouth is about Trump. They're not talking about the government and making the government better. They're just focusing on Trump. And he's doing a fantastic... And they're trying to convince us, that Trump is doing bad. I mean, look at the man overseas, okay? He should have gotten the Nobel Peace Prize. If Obama got it for doing nothing, think about that, folks. Think about that. Okay, this man's overseas stopping wars. I wish he wouldn't have, that's when the Israelis were pounding Iran. I wish they would have gotten the Ayatollah and all of them. It was great what they did to all those military officers. Okay, over there in Iran. Then I just wish that Trump would let him. Give them 24 more hours so they can wipe them out. Wipe them out. Because, but let me tell you something. You have all of these millions of illegals that come to the U.S. Now, in my professional opinion, they're not the people we want over here. Because, you know, I spent 6 years in South America, 6 years in Africa, and I know the embassy operation. And we have a legitimate system set up whereby, and we call it a lottery, okay, whereby folks go to the embassy, they put in an application, and they're vetted, they're investigated. And once they're approved, okay, they go back to the embassy, and they give them a card, I-151 card. We call it I-151 card, okay, a legal immigrant card. And then they can get the passport and they can come over and they will be legal, okay? They'll be legal. Those that are coming across the border, I worked the border for 3 years out of New Mexico. They're not legal and a lot of them are not people we want here. We don't want them here, okay? A lot of them, they clean out their prisoners, like Venezuela. The Cubans did the same thing. A lot of those foreign countries, they'll let their bad people come to America, okay? And then you have these Americans, and then you have relatives of a lot of those bad people who try to hide them. Okay? And they commit a lot of crimes because that's what they used to do in their countries. And then when we know who they are and we send our agents to pick them up, you have a lot of them with their relatives or friends, and they're trying to stop the agents from taking them out of here. And they're doing everything. They're doing everything to prevent that. And you have some of these politicians. That's why I don't think everybody who want to become a politician should be an American citizen. Not like AOC and all those idiots, okay? Should be an American citizen if you want to run for office. But we got everybody. Some of them, we don't even know where they come from. Look at Mandami in New York, okay? Hey, I think of him like I think of Doug Jones when he was running against Roy Moore. Yeah. And he beat Roy Moore, but they did it through not honestly and not legally when they beat Roy Moore. But I knew he wouldn't last long. He lasted until the end of the term, then we got rid of him, okay? And Mandami is going to be the same way. Because I grew up from the age of 10 in Paterson, New Jersey, which was 15 miles from the George Washington Bridge. And I worked in New York as an agent and as a military recruiter. I was in New York City. So, folks, it's not a good situation. And you have all of these, and you have a lot of corporations hiring these illegals, a lot of them. You know why? Because they don't pay them what they pay you or me, okay? And so there should be some fine against these big corporations that are hiring these illegals. Because if you're hiring the illegals, you're not giving the Americans a chance. And don't come here with that crap. Oh, Americans don't want to work. That is crap, folks. Don't believe it. Some of them don't, okay? But a lot of them do. And that's what you hear a lot. That's what you hear a lot. I talked to a person who's in charge of NAACP, National Association of Advancement of Colored People. They were good before. Now they are conduits for the Democratic Party. And he told me, well, these people have to work. No, get their behinds back to their country. Okay? And then I talked to him about signature voting. Oh, we don't need that. I said, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? In our Constitution, only U.S. citizens can vote.
They don't like the Constitution, George.
They don't like the Constitution. They're trying to get rid of the Constitution. I remember in all those years I spent in Nigeria and visiting 40 African countries, the first thing they do when the military take over is cut the constitution. Mm-hmm. Okay? They cut it. Get rid of it. And we want to write our own constitution. This is what they do overseas and over in Southeast Asia. Okay? And it is such a shame. I think us and the British probably have the only original constitution.
And they're trying to amend ours.
Right. Okay.
There was even that grassroots conservative movement right. for the Con-Con,
yeah,
right?
Right, yeah.
But how dangerous would that be? Do we remember what happened the last time we did a constitutional convention?
I know.
We came out with a whole new document.
That's right.
So,
folks, this can't happen in America. And especially when you spent all those years overseas. And then they talk about Sharia law. Mm. Any American woman who wants to live under Sharia law, something is wrong with her. I've seen it, okay? When I was stationed in Africa, Sharia law, I've seen two women who accused men of molesting them, and they killed the women. You know what they did? Stoned them to death.
Oh, God.
Buried a body in the ground up to their neck, put a carp over it, and then they even get some family members, and they have a whole bunch of rocks, and they throw them until, okay, stoning to death. America, and then some of the women, especially college students, they meet these guys in these universities and college. They get involved with them, and they some of them get married, and then they take them over to their country where they come from, and then all of a sudden, when they get over there, they find out that their husband have two or three wives over there, especially if they're Muslims. Okay? And I can't tell you how many women we saved because the ambassador, this was in Nigeria, the ambassador said, if you can make it to the embassy, then we'll give you a one-way ticket and get you out. And, of course, who did he always call? DEA, because we were armed.
Yeah.
Okay? And we escorted these women wow. to the airport and put them on the plane. At least got them out of Nigeria because wow. they got treated so bad by their Muslim husband. Mm. You folks don't know this, okay? And in these Muslim countries, the women can't even walk next to their husband. They have to walk him back. And, I mean, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. So, folks, and then they want to do Sharia law in America. Sharia law is dangerous, for women especially.
We have U.S. law.
Right.
And our state laws. And those are the only laws that an right. American citizen should that's be subjected
that's,
to.
That's the only one.
Yeah. The yeah. laws that we write.
That's
our
right.
people.
That we write. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. Danielle, thank you again.
Thank you so much. It was
all
good
right,
to talk
folks,
to you.
We'll be back next week. Same time, same station. Until then, Vaekwon Dales, everybody.